When Elizabeth Gore ran for the Indianapolis School Board the first time in 2008, raising campaign money was not a focus.
Well, I think it's always very known that I am a person that runs for public schools.
Gore is a well-known and long-standing community member of the Martindale-Brightwood neighborhood, a reputation that garnered her much support. But during her time on the board, conversations changed around how to best improve schools and political pressure increased.
I think one of the things was that I wasn't expecting the influx of funds that were coming, not only from inside the city here, but from outside the city as well.
Gore is referring to political action committees, or PACs. Nearly all this money came from groups who want certain reforms in the city, like charter schools. Over the years, they have donated tens of thousands of dollars to certain candidates, including Gore's opponents. In the last election, when she lost, she was outspent by more than $200,000.
So there are a lot of things that go on that you need money for, and if people have more than you, it might make a difference.
Now some wonder if the increase in money has deterred people from throwing their hat in the ring this November. Only four candidates filed for three IPS seats, the fewest in the past decade. Justin Ole Miller is the executive director of Stanford Children Indiana, a local education advocacy nonprofit that has a PAC. The organization has financially supported IPS candidates for years, but Ole Miller doesn't think finances are the culprit.
Yeah, it's hard to say. I mean, it's hard to say what factors contribute to a candidate winning or losing. In fact, there's really no data to kind of show what those factors are.
But over the past decade, 14 out of the 17 candidates who raised more money than their opponent won a seat on the Indianapolis board. Jasmine Shahid Young, the founder of Rise Indy, downplays the influence of PACs. She argues they've helped change the political landscape and gotten voters more involved. Shahid Young says there are more Black women running right now than in previous school board races.
That to me is the evidence of power shifting to community members. So regardless of what's being spent in elections, the fact that we have three Black women that have been steeped in community and prioritizing students is an incredible victory for IPS in our city.
But some say they know firsthand money is impacting the elections. Jim Sherrick is the leader of the IPS Community Coalition, a nonprofit critical of the district's partnerships with charter schools. Sherrick said he failed to recruit anyone who believed they could compete against others supported by PACs.
To me, they basically ended local democracy. The amount of money they have is so huge, it makes no sense to run. You have no legitimate chance to win.
Campaign funds do impact who runs for school board. That's according to Rebecca Jacobson, a professor of education policy at Michigan State University. She's written a book about the influence of outside money in school board elections, including Indianapolis.
You really had to raise quite a bit of money in order to be a viable candidate.
Yet Jacobson says there are other reasons why people may be hesitant to run. There's the heated national debates around the COVID-19 pandemic and critical race theory. And in Indianapolis, the district is embarking on a complicated initiative to address declining enrollment and an impending fiscal cliff.
Many people pause when they think, well, A, do I really want to do this? And then B, do I have the means to do this? And the combination of those two might mean a lot more people are saying no.
Whether funding impacts this year's race is still unclear. Pre-election campaign finance reports are due October 21st. Elizabeth Gabriel, WFYI News.